The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Natalie Owens Pike in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Natalie Owens Pike.
Friends, it's hard to believe, but summer is soon coming to an end. I am seeing you all, maybe soaking up the last of your PTO time or sneaking in one of those last summer Fridays, or maybe you're already back in the thick of back to school and all its energies and to-do lists. And as we say farewell to our summer schedules and gear up for whatever fall means for each of us, so too does your church change in its rhythms and respond to this shifting. You might have heard and seen that our bulletin calendar is already peeking over into the exciting events of September. And this week is our final clergy sermon in our summer series. As we have considered water in the desert these weeks, we've sought out the presence of God in the meaning of water across scriptures of drought, exodus, celebration, and healing. Today, we turn to Matthew's gospel, which scholars recognize as the most formative and didactic gospel for the early church, speaking to a people who were figuring out how to practice an emerging religion under empire, swimming upstream against currents of marginalization and intercultural disagreement. They were in their own dry land, would have their own specific names for the deserts of those days. Indeed, our scripture today begins, "In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" And I've found myself turning to Matthew's storytelling more often in these wilderness days of our own time, far as we may feel some days for God's vision for us. And Matthew's is the gospel that contains the most depictions of the teachings of Jesus, the most in parable and practice, in miracle and meaning-making, questioning our assumptions and pushing the boundaries of how we think of God, ourselves, and each other. And isn't this what we need now? As the early Christians did in the time of Matthew's writing, when we struggle under unending war and enforced scarcity, Christ comes to teach us how to be, how to act, how to love God and each other, as Christ so transformingly did. So let us dwell in this wisdom today. Let us turn to the baptismal waters, where Jesus shows us the wellsprings of new life. Hear this reading of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. "In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, 'The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, today's reading brings us to the shores of the Jordan River, where we see John the Baptist living up to his name, baptizing those who come to him. Yet when Christ arrives and asks to be baptized by John, well, John says something maybe you might recognize from your own heart or voice or prayers. Who, me, Lord? The gospel reads, John would have prevented him. I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Does anyone recognize themselves in John's reluctance here? Has it ever sounded a little in your voice like, not me, God? Surely there's someone more qualified, more experienced to do this task. I don't belong, or I don't have those gifts, or I'm not sure I'm cut out for what's needed here. Any nods, any recognition of that voice before? Yeah? This is the only gospel of all four gospel stories of Jesus' baptism that we see John resist and hesitate. The language here encourages us to see the difference between the ministry John has been leading and the one Jesus is about to embark on. But John's hesitation that we might recognize in ourselves, that undercurrent of, who, me, Lord? Echoes in the way that we sometimes question our own belonging or belovedness to God and to each other. And how exactly does Jesus respond? Jesus says, John, it must be you. You, the one who prepares the way of the Lord. So too are we called to prepare the way of the Lord so that the kingdom of God may come on earth, so that the Spirit of God may move and breathe among us, speaking encouragement and peace between us. And so, too, as Christians, we use the waters of baptism to confirm our place in the family of Christ. So Jesus teaches us, here, beginning his formal ministry, calling us through baptism, even when we were reluctant, even when we respond, who, me? For it is in baptism that God shares a hope for us, a desire to close the distances that separate us from God and from each other. This is the promise we repeat each week from our baptismal font during the confession and assurance of pardon. That here there is something transformative that happens, here with this water blessed and prayed over that recalls the opening of the heavens, the calling out of the Spirit of God, who says, this is my beloved son, my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. This is why we pour forth water, some of your clergy even encouraging it to splash from the bowl, because God's grace cannot be contained. Today, I ask you, I invite you to pay attention to how this transformation, this overflowing of grace, this assertion by God that our human inadequacy, no matter if we hesitate, cannot and does not deter God from loving us completely. I invite you to pay attention to how this happens through a sacrament we practice together in community. Look with me at our beautiful bulletin cover today. This art is a painting by Laura James. She was born in Brooklyn of Antiguan heritage, and she's an artist that Fifth Avenue is blessed to have multiple pieces of her work here in this building. She portrays Jesus just as he comes up from the water with this halo of gold and light blue, showing us the transformation that he has undergone. And we see John the Baptist, who is flanked on the riverbanks by a pair of winged angels on one side and a line of baptismal hopefuls on the other, a painting full of witnesses to John preparing the way for Jesus they share in the seeing and the hearing of this blessing upon Christ. For when we baptize into this family of faith, when we welcome a new member of the body of Christ through baptism, we cannot do so alone. We do so here in the midst of this gathered body. We ask the newly baptized to walk or be carried by their family up this central aisle as after we cover them in the waters of their baptism. Because we serve as witnesses for each other of the fount of God's unending love. We practice baptism in community as a symbol to the ones we baptize and also to each other. You are loved. You are claimed. You are God's beloved child and a part of all of us. So by now you might be thinking, okay, preacher, we too love a baptism. We get it. We too were teary-eyed like you when the sweet baby that we baptized on Easter Sunday looked up after her baptism and seemed to coo an amen. Do you remember that? She spoke in affirmation. But what about the reality of our lives in this moment? What does this symbol and this practice mean for us in times of conflict or disease or trial? Maybe you're thinking, sure, I know my baptism brings me into this family of faith, but I don't feel all that transformed by it. I don't even remember it. How can I lean on my baptism when I feel underwater still? This summer, we've been calling our sermon series Water in the Desert. But when I imagine Jesus, when I see Jesus in this painting, gone underwater, I think of the time between John's reluctant, yes, I will baptize you, and the moment that the heavens open up to proclaim Jesus as God's beloved child. And I see us in that in-between time, that suspended underwater moment these days. That not yet threshold, maybe we're still holding our breath. It makes me wonder if you feel underwater lately too. Maybe this water has had a particular name for you. You might call it job loss or back to school anxiety, climate despair, grief over a loss of a loved one, grief over continuing war, the starvation of innocent people. These in-between moments between conflict and peace, between the stones of life's path, between now and what's next, the gaps between God's desire for our world and where we fall short in our humanness, that's part of our baptism too. It is the breath that's held before emerging from the water. It's the water covering us before we say amen. Let's look again at Jesus on our cover. It looks a little to me like he's exhaling as he emerges from the water, echoing the scripture that he doesn't linger. As soon as he was baptized, he comes up out of the water, the text tells us. He surfaces, changed and changing, as the heavens open to name him blessed, his belovedness to God. He inhales the breath of the Spirit descending from the heavens. Do you see the angels waving to him? Marking him as God's beloved child in this image, but I like to imagine that they are beckoning to him too. Marking the path that leads up out of the water now. Out of the water, transformed out of the water to move forward, wet as we are, unsteady as we may feel. Here there is a crowded bank on the river of members of your family of faith. ready to greet you. Rare among us in the Reformed tradition, I remember my own baptism. I remember the water, the crossing of the threshold of this sacrament, because I was 27, having joined a United Church of Christ congregation after growing up Unitarian Universalist. And when I decided to get baptized, I had just spent 2 years living and working in rural Mississippi as a public school teacher, where my Black colleagues and fellow teachers had introduced me to their Christian faith. They taught me a liberating Christianity, dear friends who showed me a Christ who acts on behalf of the oppressed. So I came home from Mississippi looking for a Christian community where I could keep getting close to this story of Jesus. And I remember reading an announcement in the bulletin at my church home then, welcoming over and over, months for months, welcoming both adults and children into baptism. The kind of thing that you notice and wonder, did God put this here just for me? So on a day like any other, where we sang hymns and listened to scripture and sermon, I stood in front of my congregation and answered, yes, I profess my faith in Christ and affirm the promises God made to me through Scripture. And my minister, who had walked with me through this journey, reached into our baptismal font and absolutely covered me with water. Three times in the name of the triune God. The linen dress I had so carefully chosen, now a much darker blue, covered in the unruly, overflowing grace of God. It brought tears to my eyes and made me laugh that she used so much water, making the transformation undeniable. I think she was showing me, showing our gathered community, how baptism is an interruption from our norms, from business as usual, from any tidiness we try to make of our faith. Baptism is messy, and if we do it right, we do get covered in water. We emerge changed. We are different on the other side, as witnesses and as participants. So as we face whatever underwater time you're feeling now, whatever threshold of faith you find yourself at, listen to this invitation today to come up out of the water, no matter what you name it, to catch your breath in the Holy One. Come up out of the water, holding on to the resurrectional truth of our faith, that even as Jesus celebrates this baptism, it begins his walk through his ministry to his death. It heralds the beginning of his miracles, his sermons, and his sacrifice. For even as we hear God's anointing voice upon Jesus as he is baptized, Jesus will feel God's silence in the hours on the cross. So if we might feel we are in the silence now, no, we are not forsaken. Death does not have the last word. The waters of our baptism call us to remember Jesus came up out of the water into the blessing of the Spirit, witnessed by angels and those who would be baptized, and walked into the hard and beloved truth of our resurrectional faith, that God desires for us to be witnessed in community, brought across the threshold of our waters, no matter how dark, into the light of transformation. Friends, suffering is a fact of our lives. It is a part of our human existence. We can't push it away any more than we can breathe underwater. We can't prevent our friends or our children from suffering, but we can remember God's presence is with us at all the thresholds of our lives, nudging us to serve each other, to reflect God's vision for our world and our communities through each of our actions. Remember that even John the Baptist hesitated when Jesus asked to be baptized by him. Take courage in your own hesitation, friends, for God is with us even now. My Divinity School professor and brilliant theologian, Dr. Willie James Jennings, says, "The Spirit works in the common, moving between us. So if we don't feel like we can come up out of the water ourselves, look to the shore, the angels on the riverbank, and those who are baptized alongside you who witness to your belonging and belovedness to God. Reach out to those in community and in your cloud of witnesses, calling on their strength before you." We started this sermon series honoring how many scriptures in our sacred text journey with us and remind us that God's presence flows with us, coveted, precious source of water, even in Exodus, even in drought, even when we linger hopeful at the well. So as we turn calendar pages and shift the rhythms of our lives to a new season, take courage, friends. Come up of whatever water you've been lingering in. Come up out of the water. Embrace the transformation to come. Amen. Friends, as you go forth from this place, take courage to come up from the water you've been swimming in. Let it be for our transformation as individuals and whole communities, and trust that the Spirit awaits you, waiting to call you beloved by God. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.